partial. It's okay. He did a good job. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the scriptural definition of faith. It doesn't come terribly easy by this reading. I hope today to cover faith dealing with faith into salvation, how salvation is attained through faith, and then talk about the walk of faith, which is some of what we've heard about already, about a walk of faith. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I've had this conversation with different people and about the things that they believe, they claim to believe in a certain religious approach to God, and yet they don't do anything that their belief system says that they should do
to approach God in that way.
And it tells me that, well, do they really believe what they say they believe? Because there's nothing practical to show for it. Just for example, suppose somebody is carrying an umbrella. And I ask them, why are you carrying the umbrella? Well, it's supposed to rain. Well, how do you know it's supposed to rain? Well, this very reliable weatherman came on and said that approximately 4 o'clock it's going to start raining. And so I took my umbrella and I'm prepared. Well, why are you taking your umbrella? Because I believe what he said. It's going to rain. So I'm preparing ahead of time for the rain. There's an action involved. I believe, therefore I act. If somebody's standing in the middle of the road and I said, hey, you're in the middle of the road, get out of the road, the car's coming, you're going to get hit. I believe you. I believe you, George. But then they don't get out of the road. It doesn't make sense. So let's see what the scriptures say about faith, particularly referring to salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. John 3:16, it's been quoted already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in his Son. Believing that what he says he will accomplish, he will accomplish. And in John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we recognize this morning that we had such a great need. We were dead in our sins. There was nothing in us that could bring pleasure to God. But because you made provision for us, you died on the cross for our sins, you paid the price, you offered to us salvation freely, that we could believe on the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have that complete expectation of salvation through our Lord Jesus. We give you thanks for that this morning and the documentation in your word that reveals both the way of salvation and examples of faithful men. We thank you for this. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. in 1 John chapter 3, you can turn there, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. It's a commandment that we should believe. It's not optional. It's not another way. The only other way is to bear our sins ourselves and burn in hell forever. Not a good option. A lot of people will complain that it's not fair, that there's only one way to God, that there's only one way to avert this terrible end. And they would suggest that God is not fair. And I would say suggesting that God is not fair is not believing. You're not believing what he says. You're not believing that he loves you. You're not believing that what he's done is for your benefit. In Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if they believe in their heart, I remember when I was young, and the opportunity for salvation was before me. I was convicted. Nobody had to tell me that I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that sin deserved punishment. I knew that God said that he loved me, and he sent his Son to die on the cross for my sins. These are things that I knew. But there came a time when I came under conviction and realized that perhaps I was hanging in jeopardy. Perhaps that I could go to sleep at night and open my eyes in the lake of fire. Perhaps that I really wasn't saved. And I struggled over that. And I called upon people to explain to me, how do I get saved? How do I receive the Lord as my Savior? And maybe my testimony is like a lot of other people's. I went through the process, but I wasn't convinced. I asked the Lord to come into my heart. I believed on him. I thanked him for dying on the cross for my sins. I wanted him to be the king of my life, but I wasn't convinced. But over time, I realized that the reason I wasn't convinced is because it was too easy for me. I felt like I should have to do something. I felt like there was a lot of work to be done if I was to attain salvation. And then over time, I realized with great confidence that there was a lot of work, but he did it all. The Lord Jesus did all the work. In Romans chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a hall of fame, if you will, of the faithful. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has documented these characters and given us details about their faith. When we were hearing about Abraham, oftentimes when we think about Abraham, oh, what a man of faith. If only we could have the faith of Abraham, and it's true, he had a lot of faith. But if we look at it, if we look at it closely, we say, okay, tell me how his faith was exhibited. Okay, God told him to leave his country, Ur of Chaldees, and go to a place that he would show him. Okay, so he picked up and he left Ur of the Chaldees. That was one day. Then God told him that your wife is going to bear a child, and as we heard, he stumbled in his faith. But then he acknowledged, yes, okay, the promised seed is going to come. He believed that. There are a few times in Abraham's life that exhibit his faith. He offered up Isaac in obedience to God. That was a 3 days' journey. 3 days. He made intercession for Lot with the angel of the Lord another day. Then you can look at the other side of Abraham's life and you say, well, I could enumerate a lot of times when Abraham was very unfaithful. He did not act in faith a lot of times. He acted in fear a lot of times. And you could enumerate those. And yet, when the Lord is finished with him, we see an exhibition of the degree that his faith could take him. His faith could become so strong that he could be willing to be obedient to God, even if it cost him his son, knowing that God was in control of everything. And so, as we go through some of these characters that are mentioned in Hebrews, we're going to find different ways that a person's faith, their walk of faith, is revealed. And it's interesting to me that it's not all the same. And I'm so thankful for that, because when I look at some people, I might say, I don't see the faith that I feel like I should expect to see in that person. But then, if I look at it more objectively, I say, well, wait a minute. No, there's a great faith in that person. It's just not the way that I would have expected to see it. And so we see different people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and they're all talking about their faith. And let's continue with verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. One sacrifice. One day, his faith is displayed, and God takes notice of it. I'm not saying he was only faithful one day. I'm saying that's what God takes this one act and declares Abel to be faithful. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. He had faith. He believed God. When God gave him instruction concerning the sacrifice, he believed God. He obeyed God. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. He pleased God. He was apparently continually in fellowship with God. Enoch's life in his fellowship with God was pleasing to God. But then we read the next part. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what does it show about Enoch? He had a lot of faith. He pleased God in his faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch sought God. Enoch lived a life that was pleasing to God. Then we come to Noah. And this is something that really makes me have a different point of view about faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, in fear, built the ark. How many days did Noah have to get up and believe what God said? He had to get up on a daily basis for about 100 years, believing that what God said was true, that he was going to send a flood that was going to destroy the earth, destroy all the life on the earth. And he had to build the ark, and it was going to save his family. It was going to save those that believed. 100 years of faithful walk. And then I feel like, well, don't be surprised. We have people in our midst that on a daily basis prepare to teach the young children in the Sunday school. On a daily basis, why do they prepare and teach the Sunday school? Because they believe. It seems so natural, but it's there. Why do people study God's word so that they could teach, so that they could come closer to the Lord? It's because they believe. Why do people exercise their gift of evangelism like Brother Oliver and Tisha Lee, going door to door, passing out tracts? It's because they believe. And there's a daily burden being borne and decisions being made because they believe. I go to places and don't go to places because in my mind I say that place wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. I'm not going to go there. I hear a conversation that's heading in the wrong direction. I try to avoid it. It's just a practical, daily exhibition of faith because I believe what God says, and I try to be obedient because I believe it. In Scripture, we see different degrees of faith being exhibited. Sometimes we see extreme measures of faith, like in Abraham offering up Isaac. Sometimes we see a steady carrying a burden of because they believe, and sometimes we see very weak faith. Very weak belief. And with the nation of Israel, we realize that faith isn't necessarily an intellectual exercise. The nation of Israel was given more information about God and who he is and what he's done. And they had a relationship with God for so many years. And you would expect that out of the nation of Israel, that they should all be a collection of the most faithful that there ever was. But in many cases, their faith was weak, and we would find a small remnant of people that were truly faithful to the Lord. But we have in the Gospel of Matthew some interesting examples. We turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto him that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. But he finds some of the greatest faith from a man that was not even an Israelite. He wished that he would have found faith like that in Israel. But he didn't. Then we see another occasion in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Great is thy faith. What's interesting, going back to Hebrews 11, what's interesting is that the nation of Israel, of all people, should have been expecting and hopeful for that Messiah, the Lord Jesus, to come. They should have received him. And we find that in chapter 1 of Matthew, he's declared is the genealogy of the king. And he's acknowledged as the Messiah come to Mary, be born of Mary. And then we see the Lord as he becomes of age, he's teaching the principles of the kingdom of heaven. He's giving the Beatitudes. He's showing his character. He's showing what his kingdom is like. And then by chapter 12 of Matthew, you find his own people utterly rejecting him as king. We don't want him. We won't have this man rule over us. He's not the Messiah. He's not our king. And some people even reported, if you'd heard the words that he said, look, if he's the Messiah, we'll be the ones to tell you. We haven't told you anything. Okay? He's a fraud. He has infiltrated. He's perverting people's minds. Okay? Unbelief. Why didn't they follow him? Unbelief. It's the greatest motivator, believing and unbelieving. It'll motivate you against him or it'll motivate you for him. In Hebrews chapter 11 again, we covered three people that were before the flood. We covered three people before the flood. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And we find that faith is the same after the flood as it was before the flood. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as it is, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed him. There came times where she had lapses of faith and made a plan of her own, but ultimately she ended up in a place of faith where she believed what God said. She laughed when she heard the news that she was going to have a child at approximately 90 years old. She laughed. We find that faith is the same after the flood as before the flood. Going to Moses in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. So even before the law was given, faith was the way to God. Faith was the way of salvation. And I say before the law because a lot of people today would depend on the law. I've been a good person. You know, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I try to, you know, after all I could do is get up in the morning and do the best that I can. I had a woman, we were discussing this one time, and she said, George, she said, I just get up in the morning, and I just do the very best that I can. And I guess that, I'm as good or as bad as anybody else. But I just do the best that I can. And I told her, I said, no, you don't. You don't do the best you can. She started laughing. I said, you know I'm telling you the truth. You don't do the best that you can. She said, well, I'm no better than anybody else or no worse. And I don't know what she said. She said, well, I've never killed anybody. And I thought, there's the standard, okay? Is that the standard? Well, I haven't killed anybody. Okay, I've stolen, and I've done, you know, thought bad thoughts, and I've done, you know, but I never killed anybody. Well, I wanted to kill somebody, but I didn't actually kill anybody. How we degrade God's standard, how easy it is for us to justify ourselves. But when we come to the Lord, we realize there's no justification. There's nothing in us to justify. He has to be the one to justify us. And he did justify us by paying the very expensive cost of our salvation. When I come to the end of my life, what will the Lord say by faith George did? I don't know. I hope he has something good to say. When we look through it, we say, by faith Abel offered. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith Noah built the ark, built and prepared the ark. By faith Abraham. By faith Isaac, by faith Jacob demanded a blessing from God. He believed so much that God could bless him. It says that he wrestled with God. And the Lord said, let me go. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Is that faith? He believed. By faith, Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones, something that wasn't going to happen for many, many years. But he believed it was going to happen. He believed the nation was going to leave Egypt. And when they left, take him with them. I hope that, you know, sometimes it's hard to see, but we could see different manifestations of faith. We could see that not everybody is revealed faithful in the same way. The Lord never asked me to build an ark. The Lord never asked me to offer up one of my children. We don't know what the height and depth and the breadth of our faith may be called to do. But there are enumerated some situations. Many heroes of faith, starting at verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David, also Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions. Remember that one? Faith stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire. Remember that one? Three men that refused to bow down to an image. They'd rather be thrown into a fiery furnace than to obey the king because they feared somebody much greater than that king. They wouldn't dare. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. In other words, they believed so profoundly that what God had told them was true, that they were willing to endure terrible circumstances. We see it in the apostles coming into the New Testament, enduring terrible persecution, but it's worth it for the Lord. So I pray that our faith, when called upon, would respond in kind. Let's turn to the Lord. Our Father, we realize that you have given us tremendous examples that salvation comes by faith in God and by faith in His incarnate Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other name for which we could come to God by. We thank you that He was faithful in being obedient to a holy and righteous God, offering Himself in perfect obedience to suffer for our sins. We ask that as we walk our walk in this earth, a walk of faith, that you would build up our faith, teach us more to depend on you in different circumstances. Help us that our faith might be revealed and exposed like it was with these great men of old. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.